good evening to the Tuesday night Bible study. Is this the Mysterion Room? Well, it's the Room of the Saints. Glad to be here. It's an honor and a privilege always to talk to you guys about the Word. It really is. Word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, let us be so very thankful for all the things you have done for us, through your Son, that speak of your magnificent love towards us. We pray that as you would have us be ever learning of your truth, ever learning of your will, ever learning of your truth through the Scriptures, that's what you would have us do, so that we can understand how great of a God you are. You are the one and only God, and you are our God. And we are called to your adopted sons, whether we are men or women. Adopted sons is a tremendous calling at your right hand in your blessed, blessed, only begotten Son, the Lord Christ Jesus, our head. We pray that, as Romans says, even though it's a book out of the Acts period, Romans 8 states that in all things that occur are for occurring for good according to your purpose, according to those who are called that love you. I know I got that wrong, but exactly according to the Scriptures. But all things work together for good, that's it, for them who are called, for them who are called according to your purpose. And all things are all things. They are not, in that verse, the all things. They are all things. And so, whatever we might face, as Gary put some scriptures up here tonight, whatever we face, whatever the situation, you are our God. You're the mighty God. You're walking with us always. You're at our right shoulder, always helping us. Your strength, yield to your understanding and trust you and have tremendous faith in you and in you. And we pray that your will, your work of the Holy Spirit might be on this lesson tonight, for the fact that we might see your works through your Son as the constellations speak them forth, even though they are not specifically to the dispensation. Speaking of the dispensation of the mystery, they speak forth in tremendous, tremendous ways of the plan of redemption throughout the ages and the work of your dearly beloved Son. And we pray that we might joy in this, and that our hearts might be filled to know that you are truly a loving and great God towards us. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. And so tonight, we're going to continue on in these multiple studies concerning the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and the temple. And just reiterating a little bit, what do the constellations have to do with the tabernacle? Well, the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple and the sanctuary all have to do with the worship of God. And we know that in that tabernacle was the high priest of Israel, of the tribe of Levi, and he was the person who brought sacrifices unto you in that holy place, the Holy of Holies, for the sins of the people. And he wore a breastplate that had stones, which was connected to the 12 tribes of Israel. Those 12 tribes of Israel carried around, I believe, signs, flags, that each of their flags had a particular sign, a constellation sign on them. And this is because this had to do with the work of your Son. And each of these 12 tribes was connected to one of these signs. And these 12 tribes of Israel were going to be a blessing to the nations and carrying forth the work of your Son. That was your plan and purpose. And so all these things that were spoken of in the tabernacle in the wilderness are all beautifully connected. And, we're going on with the study. And tonight we're on sign number 8. We got through 7 signs. The last sign that we looked at was the sign of Pisces. Eventually, I think I have about 3 more studies as far as these signs are concerned, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to review on everything that was said already, the charts that you should have, the knowledge that hopefully messages, and we're just going to, in about maybe 3 lessons or so, we're going to go back and go over all things that were said in these lessons, and so that we have a solid base in carrying on. And so my next statement tonight is, do all of you guys have $20? Yeah, don't be shy. Don't be shy now. Do you have a $20 bill? Okay, Ron knows what's going on here. Yep. Okay, so everybody should take your $20 and send it to Ron. And I think it would be a good idea if all of you, if you don't have the book, The Witness of the Stars by Bullinger, you should buy it from Ron. Hopefully, I was looking for the book. Hopefully, the dentist took all your money. Hopefully, yeah, that's great. Hopefully, it's called The Witness of the Stars by Bullinger. And the reason that you should buy this, and you know, I'm not asking you to, I'm telling you to, is there's an excellent chart of the signs and the constellations in the back of this book. Good, you have it already, great. Then go to the back of this book and tear out that, very carefully, that chart on the constellations, and that will help you in this study, because the chart that I sent you is kind of a rough chart of these constellations, and that one is a lot more beautiful, especially with what we're going to be speaking of tonight. But we're on sign number 8, and I call it a sign. There's 12 signs, and then in each of these signs there's constellations. That's what we stated before, and so these studies can get very in-depth. And I am just skirting the surface of them, by the way. Tonight I'm going to get a little bit more in depth, and especially in the constellation Taurus, or in the sign. Pardon me, I made a mistake in the sign Taurus. So I hope that you guys will pull that 20 out and write that check to Ron, ordering it from TFT. The Witness of the Stars. And I don't get any kickbacks, so you guys go ahead, you know, even buy multiple copies. I guess Ron has about 40 or 50 of them, so he'll be happy with you. All right, so let's look at the 8th sign. You should pull out any chart that you might have on the 12 zodiac signs. I didn't understand that. On the 12 signs, so far we got through seven of them. The last one was Pisces, and we look back at that. There was the sign of the two fishes connected, and we noticed last time that this very well could be speaking of the star seed and the sand seed. That is, it could be talking about, and I believe it is, you know, I shouldn't say could be, I should say that it is, because it is. It's talking about two callings that were set forth in the heavens that eventually came to pass through the Son of God. One is the sand seed of Israel, and one is the star seed of Israel. One has to do with the kingdom, the other has to do with the heavenly Jerusalem. And so we did state a few times that the heavenly Jerusalem is an interesting calling, because there isn't a lot said about it. But what's interesting in these star signs is that we're finding out more about the New Jerusalem, and in these star signs, which is, to me, is great. All right, if that does make any sense to you, it actually does make sense, because that calling is by faith, and it's linked up with the New Jerusalem. That's talked about, I believe, in Revelation 21. And by the way, there's stones that are connected with the New Jerusalem. There's stones that speak of the breastplate in the high priest of Israel. Each stone has to do with the tribe of Israel. And lo and behold, the New Jerusalem has 12 stones that's connected with it. And so eventually what we're going to do is I'm going to pop out another chart to you, and we're going to discuss how these 12 stones in the New Jerusalem, these foundation stones, link up with the 12 stones in the breastplate of the high priest of Israel. Now that's, to me, that's very exciting. Again, this doesn't have to do with our calling, but In a sense, we can really glean some tremendous joy from this, because it has to do with the working of the sun. So we see in Aries, you notice on your 12th zodiac sign, we have the 8th sign, which is Aries, which is the Lamb. All right, so here we go. The Lamb has to do with the tribe of Simeon. And I know that in past messages I did not equate each sign with the particular tribe of Israel, but I can that I think I one night we went through that, but I can do this really quickly now. And these 12 signs begin with the sign of Virgo, and you'd have to go back and study about that, and that has to do with the tribe of Naphtali. And then the sign of Libra has to do with the tribe of Asher. And the sign of Scorpio has to do with the tribe of Dan. And the sign of Sagittarius has to do with the tribe of Gad. And the sign of Capricorn has to do with the tribe of Zebulun. And the sign of Aquarius has to do with the tribe of Reuben. And the sign of Pisces has to do with Levi. And tonight, the sign of Aries has to do with the tribe of Simeon. And you could say, well, so what? You know, but the point of it is that all of these items that we're speaking forth have to do with Almighty God. And so, they're extremely important. And this study is going to take you to places that maybe you've never been before, which is great. And plus, we're going to find scriptures that are associated with these signs and with these constellations, some of which you might have never thought about before. And I could say that there are many scriptures that I never even believed that I could say possibly, but let me say that are associated with these signs. And why wouldn't they be? Correct? So if you have the heavens talking about the work of the Son of God, and that this work is all set forth, it talks about the chosen people on earth, why wouldn't there be scriptures that were associated with these signs? I mean, it stands to reason that there would be, and there is. So let me say that. Aries is the sign of the Lamb. Has to do with the tribe of Simeon. It speaks forth of the blessings of the redeemed, consummated, and enjoyed. The blessings of the redeemed, consummated, and enjoyed. What does the word consummated mean? It means being brought to a completion. And so, the blessings of the redeemed are brought to a completion in someone. And that someone is our awesome Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This sign speaks forth of John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And within this sign of Aries, the Lamb, I'm just going to speak forth a little bit. I'm going to throw a couple of facts at you. It's exciting to me. About one of the major stars in this sign. Just to give you an idea of where you and I sit as human beings and how gloriously tremendous our God is. This is my point. All right, so how many miles is a light year? Well, a light year is 5.8 times 10 to the 12th miles. Oh, so what? Well, a light year is basically trillion miles. 6 trillion. 6 trillion miles, okay. And one of the major stars in the constellation of Aries, okay, so what? Well, this star is as far as going to our sun 6,400 times multiplied by 66 miles. Okay, so you'd say, well, so what's that all about? Okay, well, it takes me 3 days to drive to Arizona. One light year is 6 trillion miles. Okay, think about this, all right? Just try to wrap your brain around this one. And then knowing that these constellations and signs were put out there by our God for human beings. Just kind of try to wrap this around, try to wrap your brain around this, because all of these things were put out there for us. If we, let's say we were of Israel and we wanted to get to know the Savior, just think about this. All of these signs, they're not put out there for multiple planets. They're put out there for human beings on this microscopic infinitesimal planet. Think about that. Okay, so that's the point I get at. So our sun is 93 miles away. Okay, 93 million. And so to get to this star, in this major star in this sign, it would be like going to our sun 93 million miles away. 93 million. Okay, Arizona is, what, 2,500? So we're talking about 93 million miles to our sun. And then our Creator puts out stars, like in this head of Aries, talking about the Lamb of God. And the distance of it is this. And I suppose I would have to have Diane pack some sandwiches, because the distance of this star is like going to our sun 425,832 times. So it would be like 425,832 times 93 million miles away. Okay, and that's not just an impressive statement, saints. That's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. So I suppose that what I'm trying to get at is I'm trying to get at the one with whom we have to do, and how much he really is doing and specifically has done for mankind. Does that make any sense to you? Does that get across to you? And this is just one star out there in one of these signs. All right, and so we could get really involved in the distances and that, but this is just to give you an idea of who we're dealing with. And so I'm also trying to give you an idea of the one who is being rejected by the ones of whom he's doing all this for. So just think what he thinks about when he looks at mankind, and he's doing these unspeakably magnificent things. That's my point. Okay, so I hope that that's a little bit of some mileage for you there. This star is like going to the sun almost 426,000 times. And so our minds can't even hardly understand that. And that is the one with whom we have to do. This sign speaks of a lamb full of vigor and life. The precious blood of the Lamb of God. Okay, the God Himself came here in our form. That's another just phenomenal fact. The foundation of the perfect atonement. He came here and He did something for us that we couldn't do. We know all about that. And upon which there is victory and there is triumph. And so we have tremendous victory and we have tremendous triumph in the Son. That's a matter of fact. We can't go by feelings. That's hard to do. We can't go by feelings, but hey, we are just flesh. The Lord knows that. He knows that. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. And just kind of, just go with this. Just, you know, kind of let this stuff, you know, this information kind of soak in. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. This is talking about Israel, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so this very truth is seen in glorious fashion in the heavens also, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, before the world was cast into the deep. And by the way, who was foreordained before the world was cast into the deep? While we were. That is something that should blow our minds, because for what I know, the only calling that was foreordained before the world was things for the world was thrust into the deep is the blood of the precious Lamb of God. That is, well, I don't know. I'm at a loss for the words. That's astounding. All right, so that's astounding. What are we saying? What are we saying here? What am I saying here? What I'm saying is that our calling. I think that this is with some of the very, very tremendous and very, very precious purposes of God the Father, is what I'm saying. Our calling, not being over and above the blood of the Son, I'm not saying that whatsoever. But I'm saying if our calling is foreordained before the world was thrust into the deep, and so was the precious blood of the Lamb of God, well, that should perk our brains up, is what I'm saying. Okay. Goes on to say, verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. And again, let's turn to Revelation 5. All right, these are Acts period books. I believe Revelation was written early in Acts myself. Why is that? Well, because after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, it could have very well been that he would have returned quickly. And so Revelation would have had its place real quickly after the resurrection of Christ. But we know that the Holy Spirit was sent out for a number of years because of the hard-heartedness of Israel. But I believe if the nation of Israel as a whole would have accepted the Son of God, well, then the book of Revelation would have been very important to them. And we're going to read the whole chapter of Revelation 5. All right, talking about this sign in the heavens, this Lamb. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and all the backside sealed with seven seals. And see, this is interesting to me because this is coming. This is coming's planet. Mankind doesn't own this planet. Satan doesn't own this planet. All God owns this planet. And this planet is upcoming to severe judgment, the wrath of God. We read a lot of times that believers were saved from the wrath of God. I don't know if you've ever read that. I've read that a number of times. The wrath of God, what is that? Well, we're going to be looking at the wrath of God. And that's coming. That's coming on this place. And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And I step back and I think about the ultimate myriads of spiritual beings that exist. You know, we're totally non-cognizant of spiritual beings and how many, many, many there are. And so what? I know that angels don't apply to us today. You know, we're not supposed to be worshiping of angels. We don't have, these other misguided people think they have a guardian angel. You know, we're not supposed to be messing with angels of any kind today in our calling. That's very important. It's a warning, actually. But just to think that when we're manifested in glory, what we're going to be seeing, myriads and myriads and myriads of angels, principalities, powers, mights and dominions, which we have no clue about, but in fact, they are certainly. And so, we have quite a destiny road. We really do. And by the way, we're witnesses to principalities and powers in the upon the heavens. And so, we have to, somebody could say, well, why don't you draw that out or explain that to me? I can explain it through faith. That's how I explain it. Our calling is by faith. And it's by faith we understand these things. It's by faith and acknowledgement through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit that we understand these things. And that in itself is awesome. And so we go on to read in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And you know what? Amen to that, because he hasn't received that yet. You know, he receives that silently through believers. But the outward receiving of all this glory is to come. It's coming for him. And that's something that we should really think about, I believe. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under earth and such are as in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that lives forever and ever. And this Lamb is seen in the eighth sign in the heavens. We know that there are numerous constellations within each sign. Within Aries, there is one constellation that I'm going to talk about. There's a few of them, and this is Cassiopeia, or Cassiopeia. And Cassiopeia is known as the enthroned woman. It speaks of the captive being delivered and preparing herself for her husband, the Redeemer. So Cassiopeia speaks of this one preparing herself for her husband, the Redeemer. She's highly exalted on her throne. You can see this in this constellation. She's adorning her hair with one hand and arranging her robes with the other hand. This beautiful constellation passes vertically over Great Britain. You can see this constellation every night of the year over Great Britain throughout the whole year. And this constellation, Cassiopeia, is the bride of Christ. And so, within Aries, the constellation, the Lamb without blemish, shedding his blood, which is foreordained before the earth was cast into the deep. We have within sign a constellation that speaks of the bride. We have the wife, we have the bride, and we have the church or the assembly, which is the fullness of the husband. And I think that, I truly believe that we are the fullness of the husband. And that also makes our calling that much more special, that much more precious, let's just say, to the Father, you know. Are we special? Well, so is the bride and so is the wife. Every believer is special. But I believe us to be the fullness of the husband. That's who I believe we are in God's plan. Let's turn to Isaiah 54. And tonight I was going to go through two signs. We're going to just carry on. So in the sign of Aries, the Lamb of God is the constellation Cassiopeia, which speaks of the bride. And the bride speaks of the heavenly Jerusalem. And so again, like Pisces, the two fish, we find that the heavenly Jerusalem is seen in the heavens, in the star signs, which again I'm going to say to you is very interesting, and it's very important. If you ever did a study on the New Jerusalem, I think that what I'm saying would come out even more fully to you. Okay? So let's turn to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. And it's Isaiah 54, 1 through 8. And it states, Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge thy place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy inhabitations. Pardon me. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall be he be called. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of thy youth, when thou hast was refused, saith thy God, for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a moment, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And I believe that Isaiah 54 speaks of the bride of Christ. What's the difference between the bride and the wife? Well, that's something I'm not going to go into, but it's two specific callings, pardon me, if I can even talk. And can the bride be a wife? Well, the answer is yes. A wife can be a wife, and a bride can be a wife. And so, I believe that Isaiah 54 is king of Cassiopeia, the bride of the husband. Read turn to Isaiah 62, please. Isaiah 62. One through five. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of God. Thou shalt be no more turned forsaken, neither shalt thy land be any more turned desolate. For thou shalt be called Hezferzah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delights in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee, the bride. Cassiopeia. Turn to Revelation 21. 1 through 10. You could say, well, this is a stretch, Mike. And I could say to you, not in any way, no way. I could say that because I believe all of these things are marvelously and miraculously connected. I really do. I think that all these studies in the scriptures are part of a beautiful whole. And I think that if I asked every one of you, you would agree with that. I think so. And so we're learning about the multifarious wisdom of God, the different aspects of how He's presented Himself to mankind. And it just keeps on getting more tremendous as we go. And wouldn't we think that would be? Wouldn't we think that that's how learning of God would be? Well, I would say absolutely. I would say that the more we learn of God, the more we learn of God. And the more we learn of God, the further we know Him, and the more we learn of God. And you wonder what we may be doing for eternity. You know, you'd say, well, how could you even think such a thing? Well, I think such a thing. What are we going to be doing for eternity? Well, one thing we're going to be doing is praising Him. And another thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be learning of Him for eternity. So why shouldn't it be that the more we delve into His holy word, that that isn't the case? And so we turn to Revelation 21. And how awesome our God is. Revelation 21, 1 through 10, the bride. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. When does this happen? Does it happen right after the tribulation? No. Does it happen right after the millennial kingdom? No. Because Satan is going to be let loose for a time after the millennial kingdom. But then the earth is going to, going to burn up the heavens and the earth, and then there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. That's phenomenal. That's how I see it anyway, with whatever I know. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And I heard a great sound of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Imagine hearing that. You know, we read this, but imagine all of a sudden if we're there somehow, and an archangel or whoever shouts out, Behold! You know, this is going to happen. And see, the glory that the Lord should have, He's going to get it abundantly, and He deserves it. It says in verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Awesome. And there shall be no more death. Pardon me. Awesome. Neither sorrow. Incredible. Nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Hallelujah. That's what Mikey can say right now. And this isn't even... I call it to people of the New Jerusalem, let alone our calling. No more pain, no more sorrow. No more infirmities, no more wondering, no more failing, no more thinking about what we haven't fulfilled, no more failure. You know, I mean, it's almost hard to believe. Yet, no more tears. Yet, it's true. And you wonder, you step back and you go, man, are you serious? You know, and so what this does to my mind, it draws me back. Well, well, how did we ever get in this state? You know? How did we ever get in a state that's so far away from the reality we're reading about now? Well, my answer is sin is bad, really bad. To fall out of favor with God through sin is really, really, really bad. And so we had a tempter that caused our human mother and father to do that. It's interesting where your mind might be led in all this. Verse 5, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. I'm ready. And he said unto me, and this isn't our calling, don't get me wrong. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's how that's pronounced. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. kind of let that roll around in your mind for a while. There's a lot more to that picture than meets the eye. I will give unto him that is athirst of the foundation of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his son. Fearful and unbelieving and murder. And hormone and brimstone, which is the second death. And by the way, this judgment of fire is going to be seen in one of the constellations of the next sign, Taurus, by the way. And so, all I can say is these signs are phenomenal as we study them, because this fiery judgment of God is seen in Taurus, in one of the constellations, which we probably won't get to tonight. Is this a stretch? No way, no how whatsoever. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Hallelujah. The bride, seen in Cassiopeia, one of the constellations of the sign Aries. By the way, this is just kind of delving below the surface of these things. And so, you take out that $20 bill and you send it to Ron McCurry. And you get that book and then you study that text and every place that it leads you to. And I think you'll be quite blessed and surprised. What this will also do, I believe, is that this will crystallize your calling. Because you'll see all the things that the Lord did for Israel, the wife and the bride, and then to realize that your calling was hidden in him as a secret, his sacred secret, which nobody knew about. And so you piece all of these things together. You piece all of these things together. And you're left with, I can't believe this. That's what you're left with. And you're left with the fact of how awesome our God is. And so, I think that the Lord, in my personal opinion, would have us thinking about these things all the time. And do I think about these things all the time? No. But I think that the evil one's work is to bend our minds away from thinking about things, because these things are the true reality, by the way. Faith has to do with the things that aren't seen. The things that are made by the things that aren't seen. That's what Hebrews 11 talks about. Let's just for 8 minutes delve into Taurus. That's the ninth sign. Taurus the bull. Taurus the bull has to do with the Messiah, the coming judge of all the earth. This is coming. Are we going to eventually go live on Mars and have our houses in some sort of encased oxygen? That's a total bunch of bunk. A waste of trillions of dollars coming out of the minds of madmen that are dead as they live. That's what all of that is all about. We'd probably all be millionaires, maybe, in this country, if we saw all of the money wasted on such ridiculous, foolish things. And so, how is it that a mind can think that eventually they'll live on Mars after we know the truth that we're talking about. Well, that mind is in darkness, and it's under the power of the prince and the power of the air. That's how dark and dead a mind like that is, and it's a shame. But I believe that mind is without excuse anymore. That's not a judgment, but this judge is coming. And right now we live in the dispensation of grace. I was reading about the silence of God from Sir Robert Anderson. I'm not sure if Sir Robert Anderson knew the mystery. Nevertheless, he wrote about some great things. We live in a period of time now called the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the mystery. People in this dispensation say, how can God allow this to happen? How can God allow that to happen? All these horrendous, despicable things to happen. Well, what he's allowing to happen is truly this. He's allowing the vilest of offender to have everlasting life by even believing in the name of the Son. No judgment, no wrath, their sins whatsoever. No being under the law, no sacrificing. Think about all the things we don't have to do. No wrath of God. I mean, think about this. And so we live in a glorious period of time. But eventually, this glorious period of time, that is, we come to God in grace, that's it. We can believe on the name of Christ and have everlasting life. That's all we have to do. Eventually, the door is going to slam shut on these dispensations. Eventually, whammo, the door is going to slam shut, and then the despicable things happening. I don't have scopic answers. But the blessed answer is that God is leaving mankind to his own devices, but he's also allowing mankind to come to him openly and freely through grace without wrath. That is the love of God. And even if a despicable thing would happen to a believer, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. Because what is our life? You know, I think that we make too much of ourselves. I really do. I make too much of myself. That's for sure. I can admit that. I can admit things because I'm older now. I'm 63 and I just don't care anymore. That's kind of some humor there, but, you know, I'm old now. The picture of Taurus is the bull rushing forward, okay? We have this bull with these big old horns rushing forward with mighty energy and with fierce wrath. His horn to push his enemy, to pierce them through, and to destroy them. It's a prophecy of the Christ, the coming judge, and the ruler, and the Lord of all the earth. The Lord is coming to this planet with Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And we can pick up next time with Taurus the bull. And it has some great truth within it. Thanks a lot, Tony. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. You know, I just can't wait for everything in God's plan to happen. I just can't wait, you know. So come, Lord, let's get it going. Yeah, and it says here, faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. Okay, so he's coming. Not as the Lamb, not as forsaken, not in humility, but in judgment and in power. This is what's going to happen to this planet. Not a space station, not a trip for millennium to some idiotic place, but it's Son of God coming in judgment of this place. That's what's coming. And you know, the world teaches us such despicable things. It's too bad. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Awesome. Turn to John 1, actually. We're not going to go there, but reminds me of John chapter 1. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon a white horse, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. This is what's coming. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the one that's coming. And this is seen in Taurus the bull. And so I'm going to finish there tonight. And next time we'll be taking on the ninth sign of Taurus, and a little bit more lengthily in discussion. It's excellent, though, and discussing a couple of constellations in Taurus. One is Orion, and the other one is this river called Eridanus. This river seen in the heavenlies, or seen in the stars. So I hope you enjoyed this. I hope that, I hope it just continues your learning in Him, because that's going to be never ending. Thanks a lot, Saints.